Philip, good morning.
G'day, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here on
My
the day.
My pleasure.
Now, a lot of people experience a long commute for work, particularly those from Western Sydney. There's been talk of extending train lines and other solutions that are being put in place. Is that being enough? Is that enough for these people who do need to commute from Western Sydney into the Sydney CBD?
Well, it's a great start because it's hard to imagine a future where the Sydney CBD is not going to be a major employer of people in Sydney, particularly in the higher-end professional and managerial occupations. Our concern, however, is that the demand by people with professional higher education qualifications is rising so quickly that we can't see that it's possible for the Sydney CBD to absorb the demand for work from those people.
Mm. So you've suggested the government focus more on providing jobs in the West, is that correct?
Well, they've got to do a lot of things. There's no single solution to this, and the major part of our report actually unpacks the problem rather than offers the solution.
Mm.
There's a number of dimensions. The first one is that the number of people who use public transport to get to the CBD as a proportion of workers is actually highest in the outer rings of Sydney. Now, that, when you think about it, makes a lot of sense. If you're a higher education trained worker, and you start your job search, you're more likely to find success in the CBD. Now, that means if you live at, say, Claremont South near Penrith, that you're going to get onto the Western Line. You're going to get on there early in the morning and you're going to travel a long distance.
Mm.
In actual fact, as you get nearer to the city in the inner and middle ring suburbs, you actually have more options. Cars actually present you an easier option to get to your inner city place of work if you're an inner city resident, if you think about it, than an out-of-city worker. Mm. So that's the first issue. How do you actually get that rising number of people from the outer suburbs into the city when they need to get there on a daily basis?
Mm.
But we say that in 20 years' time, that number of people will be so high that you also have to build giant jobs concentrations in Western Sydney. And you need to get people to those places of work. Now, when you realise that two out of every three new Sydney-siders is a Westie, as we grow, we need to find a place, a dwelling in Western Sydney for two out of every three new Sydney-siders. And the proportion for jobs is roughly the same.
Mm.
The growth of the labour force in Western Sydney is astonishing. Now, at present, about 72% of Western Sydney workers drive to work. They drive across Western Sydney, all of these pinch points. You know, it's not for us to discover that these people are sitting in traffic on a daily basis in 2016. By 2036, it will be even worse if that's able to be imagined. Now, cars will obviously always play a role, but they cannot be the major way that we actually get to, people to work over the next 20 years. We have to build giant jobs concentrations because that's the only way a public transport system can work,
mm.
where there's common large patterns of travel where you can put a public transport system to take people from their places of dwelling to their place of work. So it's a multifaceted problem, and we need a range of solutions to address it.
Well, one that intrigues me is the cost aspect of all this. You've mentioned in this report that the cost of non-Western Sydney commuter journeys are subsidised by public revenues by nearly 80%. What did you mean by this?
Well, you know, the cost of public transport travel all around the world is a hot political issue, and it's the same in Sydney. IPART is the name of the group that advises the New South Wales government on public transport fares across New South Wales. Obviously, that means predominantly Sydney. Currently, they're conducting an inquiry into fare pricing for the Opal card system. And in the IPART reports, which anybody can find by simply going to the IPART website, they actually reveal that for train travel in Sydney, that fares only contribute about 21% of the cost of running the rail system, excluding the capital costs. So just the day-to-day costs of electricity and labour and staff and cleaning and so on for the trains, fare revenues only contribute 21% of that total annual cost. Now, when you extrapolate that, it actually works out currently about $5 billion of state taxpayers' money goes towards subsidising that section of train travel. And because predominantly the people who travel to the CBD on trains come from the middle and inner ring suburbs, it is those CBD workers who are actually getting the bulk of the benefit of that subsidy. Now, I mean, it's cheap politics on our behalf in the report to draw a relationship between that and the cost of car travel by a Western Sydney worker. But coincidentally, it works out that when you actually figure out the cost of journey to work by car for a Western Sydney worker and multiply it by the roughly 500,000 or 600,000 cars that hit the road every day, it also works out at about $5 billion. Our point is that road travel is attractive to governments because, by and large, the people who use roads pay the cost of road travel themselves. So the thing that is enticing for governments is not to build public transport, because public transport builds in an ongoing cost factor into government budgets that they have to meet on a year-on-year basis. But once you get the roads in place, then you just hand it over to the traveller to bear the total cost of their travel.
Mm.
And that's a real political issue.
Mm. So essentially, though, in the end of this one, it sounds like it is a multifaceted issue that does need a multifaceted solution.
Well, the solution, the problem is so big a problem that we say in the report that there's two sides to it. One is that if you don't address it, then the city, and that's, this is not just Western Sydney, this is all of global Sydney. If you don't address it, then the city's economy will grind to a halt on the back of congestion. But the second issue is that if we continue to try to build our way out of the problem, such as by very expensive Metro Northwest solutions and very expensive West Connect solutions, and remember both, either it's rail or it's road, these things are designed to move people over very long distances across the city. What we say in the report is if we continue to look to those expensive solutions, then the taxpayer and the state government will go broke in trying to fund them.
Mm. Well, Philip, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time this morning, having a bit of a chat, unpacking this one for us.
My pleasure, Sean.